Yeah, Warriors, we're taking it down. Raise your voices and stand up this town. We're the champions of craft beer sport. Tolkien Audio, we hold down the fort. All right, Saturday podcast. Let's go ahead and do this. And honestly, I'm recording this on late Friday afternoon, early Friday evening. And I thought I was going to let it go, because that's normally the way these things go. We're coming on the heels of Sheldon Keefe being let go by the Leafs this week, and then this bullshit press conference they had. And it was more and more irritating as it went on. And typically when that happens, I'm sort of like taking notes in my head. You know, when you get home or when you have a little time, you can pod on this. And then as the day goes along, you sort of calm down and you're just sort of like, well, I don't know, maybe it's not worth it. And by then, you know, the audience will have already heard a lot of the talking heads on the major networks kind of give these thoughts if your thoughts are similar to them. And you sometimes just end up cooling off. And the opposite happened today. This press conference wraps up and it gets worse throughout the day because of the fucking talking heads. And this is what happens when the guy who hired most of them on both major networks gets to run the thing that they're now covering. And I know a lot of people, you know, like to point the finger at, well, Sportsnet and TSN own the Leafs, so how hard on them are they really going to be? And I sort of have time for that argument. The optics aren't great, but often enough, I find them reasonably fair. I don't always agree, but I don't feel like they're eating out of somebody's hands. Until today. Because today was garbage. So you know what? This is going to be a one-hitter, no editing afterwards, just whatever comes out, because this stunk. And it got worse, like I said, throughout the day. Let's start with Sheldon Keefe, because that's probably the part that has me the least fired up. And I don't have a lot on it, because I sort of speculated with Rob earlier in the week and with Versage earlier in the week that I think we all sort of thought this was probably coming, but, you know, it's now official. And so I don't want to rehash everything that I already said. It was time. You needed change. Sometimes it's just change for the sake of change. I'm not exactly sure that that's what this is. I think you can make the argument that he deserves to go based on 5 years of not great performances in the playoffs. But this year, perhaps in particular, I thought he coached better in the playoffs than in previous years. I've said this 100 times on here before that I don't like how fidgety he gets, how panicky he gets. It's 1,000 changes of the lines. He's bouncing between goalies sometimes. When he's freaking out behind the bench, I think that energy carries through what has already been accused to have been a nervous team to begin with. I thought they needed some stability back there and some calmness back there. And I thought in the playoffs this year, they had it. I thought he was fine. But when you lose this many times in a row, you go. That's it. That sometimes it's just that simple. Whether you're the real problem or not, and he is a problem, he is part of the problem. But at some point, you're the easiest part to change. And if you want to pin something on him, special teams stunk. The power play was awful. The penalty kill was awful. And for whatever reason, they have chosen to keep the assistant coaches around, and it's Guy Boucher who ran the power play, and you got other guys who help with the PK. You know, for now, they've said, we'll reevaluate that later. But you are the one who oversees all that stuff. That is a coaching thing. So yeah, you're going down. I'm surprised your assistants didn't go with you, but you're going down for that. And that's fine. To his credit, and this is a thread, so stay with me. To his credit, after he was shit-canned, he goes and releases a video himself. He doesn't want to do an interview where someone else gets to frame things for him. It's just set up a shitty iPhone video like we've all done 100 times. And speak to the people yourself. Took full responsibility. Is it entirely his responsibility? No. But that's an admirable thing to do. He goes out there and he says what he should say. I'm the head coach. The buck stops with me. And it does. And so I admire that because, quite frankly, not enough people doing that, at least not meaningfully in this organization. So good for him. He still thanks the organization. He thanks the fans, thanks his players, thanks the staff that work around him. Thought it was a pretty, you know, admirable thing to do. Trying very hard not to use the word classy because we use that too much around hockey right now. this might have actually been classy, but I've just been turned off that term right now. I'm weirdly fired up already, and we haven't even got to the part that's pissed me off. This has been building all day. So he goes and he releases the video that says, thank you. Look, he's going to get hired somewhere else. Will it be this year? I don't know. He's got a 2-year extension that doesn't kick in until next fall. So if he wants to sit at home, he did mention that he wants to spend some time with his family and give them the attention that they deserve. So it's going to be, I was going to say it's his call. It might not be entirely his call, but he will get another head coaching job in the NHL. Whether it's this year or not is going to be partially up to him. We have already heard that the New Jersey Devils have asked permission from the Leafs to speak to him and received that permission. So now they're casting a wide net for their own job, whether they end up hiring him or not. I have no idea, but they've gotten permission to talk to him. So he puts out the video, and that sort of puts a bow on that chapter. And now we're all just waiting for Friday when management is going to speak. And let's start here, because I thought this was a fucking clown car portion of it. We get Shanny coming out and doing what he's never done before and going, well, we all saw Keefe's video, but ultimately the buck stops with me. I take full responsibility. And then he continues on with his spiel where he doesn't really take any kind of responsibility. And then Brad Treliving gets to speak afterwards, the general manager. And he goes, well, you know, Sheldon, it was noble of him to do what he did. And Shanny, you know, he's a good guy. But I'm the general manager. And ultimately, the buck stops with me. And I take full responsibility. And you know what this was to me? And I don't know Brad Treliving well enough. He hasn't been here very long. This was, everyone saw the credit that Sheldon Keefe got for taking responsibility and decided, hey, when it's my turn, I'll be the one to take it. Instead, you get two guys stepping out there. And look, does Brad Treliving deserve some criticism? Yeah, his free agency last summer wasn't great. I didn't love some of the deals he made at the deadline. Is this all on him? Probably not, man. You're the new guy. You're the newest one in here. You take some heat. But the guy sitting beside you in Brendan Shanahan is absolutely more deserving of criticism right now after 8, 9, 10 years, whatever the fuck he's been here. But it felt to me, because Shanny's never done that before, he's sort of come out and pointed at it and he's given you the platitudes, but it's like, hey, look, somebody finally took responsibility, because the players don't really do that either. When they've come out, they don't say, look, I need to be better. Occasionally they'll give you a, we need to be, but will anyone put themselves out there and say, hey, me, not good enough over these last couple playoff series. I own this. They don't do it. There are guys on this team I like and guys that I don't. None of them do it. I think Samsonov did it, and he's not going to be back. He had an up and down year. He wasn't great in the playoffs. He wasn't terrible in the playoffs. He let in a back-breaking goal or two, and you don't need that. But I think he's the one who said, like, this is the worst feeling. I wasn't good enough. But where's that out of Tavares or Matthews or Marner, heaven fucking forbid, we'll get to him. But it sort of felt like, oh, look, hey, the media is responding well to Sheldon Keefe saying, I take responsibility, so let's all go out and say it. Well, now you just all look like idiots. Don't patronize me. This whole press conference was fucking patronizing. Sorry. Got the pedal down here, and it's leaving me with a bit of a sore throat, so we're going to have to, like I said, no edits here. No one to pick me up and talk for a minute while I take a sip of my beer, so you're just going to have to power through. Let's start with Keith Pelley, the new big boss. He comes out, he wants to be a part of this thing. He's the head honcho now at MLSE. He's representing ownership, while Shanny is the president of the Leafs, and Brad Treliving is the general manager. So you got all kinds of middle management types sitting here together and doing whatever. Keith Pelley rambled on nonsensically. At one point, he tried to compare the fact that he, as the guy who used to run the European Golf Tour, and they've given it a different name now, of course, a corporate name. I don't even know the fucking name of it. Before coming back to MLSE, he was running the European Golf Tour. And he decides, hey, I got this theory that it's about talent and it's about chemistry and it's about unity. You're like, hey, that's awesome, man. Those are some super buzzwords we can all pick up at a Saturday fucking seminar at the, what, Courtyard Marriott? Middle Management Inc. I don't know. But don't ever try and talk to me like the Ryder Cup team is the same as basketball or the same as hockey or the same as football. Golf is an individual sport, and two or three times a year you get together and decide, hey, this weekend we'll all just add our scores together and now we'll call it a team sport. You know what? Have a good time. But unless someone's trying to pass you the ball before you putt it, it's not a team sport. I know a lot of people say baseball is an individual sport that is played by teams. And I have time for that because when you stand there at the plate, it's just you. But on defense, when you want to turn a sweet double play, there is at least going to have to be some sort of familiarity with the guy that you're playing with. Golf is not the same thing. Don't ever, ever come to a press conference like this when your fan base is that fired up and try and compare the European Ryder Cup. Well, we played better against the U.S. than people expected that we would. So that's what I'm going to bring to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Fuck off. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. So he goes ahead and he mumbles along and he's asked directly a couple times, you know, about Brendan Shanahan, who's been here for a decade. It's been reported that he has 1 year left on his deal. That's gotten a little muddy here over the last couple weeks. People saying there might be an option. Whose option is it? We don't know. But he's been here long enough that he should have to take some responsibility. And Keith Pelley comes out and he gives that lovely sports metaphor that everybody gives. Well, I just got here. I couldn't possibly make an assessment now. You know what? The owners have been here the whole time. The fans have been here the whole time. One of two things needed to happen. You needed to be prepared to act quicker, or MLSE shouldn't have dicked around for like 18 months in hiring a new president, a new CEO. That ship was running without a rudder for a long time, and now it's trickling its way down and impacting the teams. This is the exact same thing as last year. We dropped Brad Treliving in here, and I tried to cut him some slack because it's not his fault, but it is Shanny's fault. It is Dubas' fault, the way all that shit played out. You go through two rounds, you fuck around for a week trying to decide if guy's going to be back or not. Then you have to go spend another couple of weeks trying to hire the new guy. And then you go, well, you got a month. You trading Mitch before his no trade kicks in? That's a shit place to put Brad Treliving, who, as you guys know, I am not enthralled with. But it is not his fault that they waited that long to solve that issue and bring in a new guy. And now Keith Pelley is walking in and doing the exact same thing. Well, I couldn't possibly make a decision on a president yet. What? We'll wait another year so you can look around? Fucking great. Just a fucking clown show, honest to God. I'm not here to sell jerseys. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. That's a huge part of MLSE's business. If you want to sit here with the president and the GM of the team today and pretend that you're part of the hockey operations, that's fine. But don't say stupid shit. And that was stupid shit because a huge part of MLSE's business is selling merch. They have a store in downtown Toronto across the street from the goddamn arena with a bar and a massively marked up retail shop full of MLSE property. You did not spend all that money on that property for this long to not sell stuff. It's a huge part of this. I'm not here to sell jersey. Winning's the only thing that matters. You know what? Fucking great. Ryan Smith just bought the Arizona Coyotes and moved them to Utah. He's saying the same thing. We're here to win. Heaven forbid, the Canucks and Oilers, they're still playing hockey this spring. Their management would tell you, we're here to win. Winning is the only thing. The arrogance that came off of these people today was unbelievable. We're the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we need to win. Yeah, great. What's your plan? Or is it just, we're Toronto, so we'll win? Well, there's no evidence of that so far. I this was shit. And the worst part about it, the part that kept getting me the most fired up throughout the day. Like I said, often I watch these because these press conferences are never anything. They never say anything. It's all corporate speak. They don't want to tell you anything. And I sort of expect that going in. I'm frustrated by it, like everybody else, but I'm not surprised by it. What I was surprised by, and I shouldn't have been, was the fucking people working for TSN, working for Sportsnet, who this guy, Keith Pelley, hired. He worked and ran both of those organizations. He is tight with Darren Dreger. He is tight with Elliot Friedman. And sorry, I'm a CJ fan. Guess who hired him to be part of Hockey Night in Canada? Keith Pelley. And all three of those guys, all of them, on radio hits or podcasts or write-ups later on in the day or hits on SportsCenter, were asked, hey, what was your takeaway? And all three of them, while this guy mumbled and said nothing different, nothing new, nothing that we haven't heard repeatedly over the last 8 years, all three of them come out and go, oh, my takeaway was, man, Keith Pelley's the boss. This guy's in charge, man. Things are going to change. This guy's going to win. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. He gave none of that. There was no vibe like that. He came out and he said the exact same thing that Ottawa management's been saying since 2017, that Montreal management's been saying since they've been going through their rebuild, that teams who are actually still competitive are saying, we are here to win. Winning's the only thing that matters. Our fans deserve to win. What the fuck did Keith Pelley say that came off so so powerful, so strong? There's a new sheriff in town. Shut up. Shut up. But when you're tight with that guy, when that guy's clearly one of your sources, when that's the guy who hired you into the high-paying job you've got now and got you half your connections, you better believe they're going to carry water. And that's exactly what happened on Friday afternoon. And that's the part that's got me so fired up. This is, I have shied away quite a bit over the last couple years of the idea that, well, Sportsnet and TSN own the Leafs and that stops anybody from being critical. If you asked me, and this comes off a little homerish, and so fair enough, I often think they're too hard on the Leafs. And I think it's because they want to avoid the appearance of being homers. It's a national network. Everyone outside Toronto hates the Leafs. And so we better not give off too much. We can talk about them nonstop. It's still good for ratings. It's still good for clicks if we have tons of Leafs news in the cycle. But we better lean more critical than homerism, because we're going to get roasted otherwise. That's how I feel. Some of you will disagree. That's fine. But that's how I feel. And I often shy away, like I said, from the idea that these guys are homers. Today, this was, hey, my buddy's the boss now. I'd like him to stay happy. I'd like him to keep talking to me. And so I'm going to go out and I'm going to talk about how tough Keith Pelley came across. Keith Pelley didn't say fucking anything. Nothing of any consequence. You got any more golf analogies for me? No? Just the one for now? I don't ever need to see that guy speak at an actual team. And listen, here's the thing about Keith Pelley. Maybe he'll be awesome at this. He bounced around here in Canada for a long time because he could, had great relationships, and was, by all accounts, pretty decent at what he did. Ran TSN for a while, ran Sportsnet for a while. He was the guy in charge of the Olympic Consortium leading up to 2010 when he got those networks to work together, a joint bid on the Olympic broadcast rights. He was the guy at the top. And I respect him for leaving and going to Europe, because now it's not people he already knows. Now it's not relationships that he already has. He is spreading his wings and going and trying to do something else. And based on everything I've read, he was pretty successful. Expanded the tour, increased their revenues. Good for you. And so he may come back here and he may be a very good CEO. I don't even remember if he's the CEO or the president now of MLSE. I think he's the president. Doesn't matter. He is the guy who represents ownership to these teams, to the Raptors, to the Marlies, to FC, to the Argos, and to the Leafs. He might be good at it. I don't know. But he wasn't good at this. He was not good in at coming out and representing a turning of the page. And I have no idea what the insiders are trying to spin. Well, I know exactly what they're trying to spin. I have no idea what they saw that would lead them to come out and go, whoa, ooh, things are going to change now. And to their credit, people outside of that bubble who've never worked for Keith Pelly are walking away from this presser looking far more credible right now. Jonas Siegel, who takes a lot of shit from Leaf fans, he was not moved by anything that Keith Pelly said. Josh Cloak, not moved by anything that Keith Pelly said. To watch the three biggest insiders in this sport in this country all walk away on Friday and come out and try and tell the fans, whew, man, Keith Pelly, he's going to lower the boom. He's going to... Yeah, lost. Brendan Shanahan, asked by multiple reporters in multiple ways, you've been the one who keeps doubling down on this group, this core four. Have things changed? He wouldn't answer that. Do you still have faith? Wouldn't answer that. He actually repeats at one point, I don't want to repeat myself, after already using the exact same answer four times. There's a time to be patient, and there's a time where things have to change. Yeah, we know. Could you answer the fucking question? And so Jonas Siegel is the last guy who gets a question. They say there's going to be three more. And look, to Shanny's credit, he gave a couple of people a second crack at him. Did you have a follow-up? And he did that with Jonas as well, which was supposed to be the last question. And it was clear Jonas wanted to ask again. And Shanny let him. But he dodged it again. And look, I said on the show with Versage on Thursday, the one thing that is not going to happen is for Brendan Shanahan or Brad Treliving to come out and say, yes, we think Mitch Marner sucks and we will trade him. That was never going to happen. But it has been Brendan Shanahan who has constantly doubled down on this group, and there were perfectly reasonable questions. Do you think you waited too long before moving off of this? Have you lost faith in this? Do you think it warrants a change of approach? Someone tried to ask it through the vein of the cap, leaving the names out of it. Can you dedicate this much money to these group of four forwards and still have it work? Every time. Well, you know, there's a time to be patient and there's a time to... I don't know. It all came off pompous. Completely detached from the fan base. I don't know when the right time was, and you can have your own opinion on that. Maybe you say right after the Montreal series in 2021, maybe I think, Tavares got hurt. And in 2022, if you remember, they lost to Tampa in the first round. You could make a pretty good case. They were better than Tampa in that round. They actually scored more goals than Tampa in that round, but you lost. So all of these things, like, I thought they were better against Tampa in 2022 than they were against Tampa in 2023, except in 2023, you won. So sometimes things just go in a weird direction. And, like, you just can't take any of those and isolate them, right? Or look at them in a bubble. And to his credit, that's what Brad Treliving said. As I mentioned earlier, not a big fan. But he's the only one of the three who did not come off like an asshole at this thing. He at least said, I've only been here for a year, but I'm very aware that this has been going on for longer than a year. That's all I need. Could you acknowledge that that's how a lot of your fans are feeling? That I'm not even yet ready. Go ahead. You can poke fun. I'm not convinced you can't win with four forwards making up that much of your cap. I'm pretty convinced you can't win with these four forwards. All of them at times stars. Absolute stars in the league. But as a collective, it hasn't worked. Hasn't worked. And I don't know who the guy is. I haven't gone and looked at the comparisons. If you traded Mitch or Willie. I'm sorry, my throat's getting ready to give out on me here. Trade either one of those guys for someone in the league with the exact same salary, but just who plays the position slightly different. Maybe this all goes different. I don't know. I still think you can win with this sort of allocation. We have seen it before. You have to look at it through percentage of the cap instead of over $10 million or whatever the arbitrary line is that people like to draw. But we have seen, as our buddy Jeff Fayette calls it, the stars and scrubs model work before. But it won't. It hasn't worked with these four. So if you just swapped out one of them, as I said, for a guy who plays the same position but plays it differently, has a different approach, has a different mindset, has a different, I don't know, maybe that does work. But this won't. This group, these particular four together, are clearly not getting it done. So now you have to move forward. You got to look at what you're going to do. They did say, to their credit, without saying so, everything is on the table. Well, that's what Kyle Dubas said last year, just before he was let go. Or, as they would frame it, not renewed. I think it's pretty clear Shanny wasn't ready. There was a lot of things going on at that point. But you could, in theory, when you're Shanny and you're hiring Brad Treliving last May, say to him, hey, look, I know I'm putting you in a tough spot. I've been here a while. Our staff's been here a while. Lean on us. But we're breaking up the big four this year. You could do it. It's going to be hard on Treliving, but you could do that. It's pretty clear Kyle Dubas came out in his end of year presser and said, everything has to be on the table. And Shanny went, nope, not everything. So we pissed away another year, and now everything is on the table. Quite possibly because Shanny was told by Keith Pelley, hey, this thing, this Shanna plan, yeah, it's over. You got another year left. You're going to stick around. I'm going to evaluate you, but you're not doing this again. You're not running it back the same way. And that's just one possibility. Maybe Shanny has got there this year on his own. Everyone else has. Maybe he's arrived too. You could have done this a year ago and chose not to. So that puts you in a spot now where Mitch and JT, now Tavares had it anyway, but Mitch has control of the situation. If you want to trade Mitch Marner, you are going to have to do one of two things. Have a calm, rational, reasonable, realistic conversation with him and probably his dad. About this isn't working. You need a fresh start. We need a fresh start. Give us a couple teams. Where might you be willing to go? And we'll help you get there. Or, hey, we're not re-signing you. You're going. Whether it's now or next summer, you're going. And the hammer that you have, and he holds most of the cards, but you do hold one. And that's the eighth year. If he signs somewhere else next summer without the help of the Leafs, if he just walks as a free agent, he can only get 7 years at whatever he's going to sign for. If Toronto does a sign and trade, similar to what Treliving did with Tkachuk and the Panthers and the Huberto and Mackenzie Weegar deal, And just talking about that makes me shudder a little bit. Because to be fair, I came on this show back when that deal happened and said, man, Brad Treliving was backed into a tough spot there in Calgary. And I think he did a pretty nice job here. And those deals have blown up in his face. So that scares the fuck out of me right now. But you can do that. You can go to Mitch and say, give us a couple places you'd be willing to go. Let's start talking to them about a trade. You guys start talking to them about a contract extension. And you can get the eighth year. You can get that stability. You can get that extra $8, $10, $12 million, whatever it's going to be. And we can get this done together. Or we can make your life incredibly uncomfortable. Make it clear that you are not welcome here. You are not wanted here. You can have a miserable year until you walk as a free agent. And look, letting him walk as a free agent is not ideal for the Leafs either. We're mad at Mitch Marner right now. Mitch Marner has not performed in the playoffs, and that's cost us. But he is a very good player. A very good player. At least in the regular season. And maybe in the playoffs, too, if he got out of this bubble. And he looks miserable. He used to be the fun-loving guy running around on the bench and laughing with people. And remember, he's singing Bon Jovi when he's mic'd up. All these things. You don't see that now. He looks crushed by this situation. Remember when he came back from the injury? He had that weird exchange with Mark Masters, who was just asking him, you know, like, what was the story with the injury? Was it the high ankle sprain? He's like, well, you guys will just make up whatever you want on the media anyway, so I'll just let you go. It's a perfectly reasonable question. Why are you sulking? Why are you already so pissy? To quote that guy out in Edmonton, why are you so pissy? He has not enjoyed this year. So maybe he is ready to move on. Maybe I'm overestimating his desire to become king of Toronto. But that ship has sailed. And do not forget that when they were negotiating his contract, it was a shit show. His agent was taking shots at Kyle and the organization. His dad's leaking stuff to Darren Dreger. Speaking of Darren Dreger, that is already happening. This week, when we've been hearing Dreger talk about the Marner thing and whether he'll be traded, he is already reverted right back into carrying Paul Marner's water again for him. He's pointed out multiple times that Mitch holds the cards, and Darren Ferris, his agent, loves to take guys right to free agency. Fine. Walk out the door. As I sort of started on a minute ago, that would be a tough loss for the Leafs to get nothing for him. But you will get the cap space. You will get the turnover. You will get the fresh injection. I don't know. Maybe you have to have an ugly year here first and piss away another year of your young guys. But that's on the table. But if you remember back to that last contract negotiation, like I said, you got Darren Ferris, Mitch's agent, taking shots at the team. You got Darren Dreger clearly working for the Marner family in that moment. And they spent all summer taking shots at the team and clearly winning the PR battle. And Kyle Dubas, to his credit, said nothing. Learned under the Lou Lamoriello tree, we don't do our business in the media. Until it got to a point where he'd had enough. And it was only like 3-4 days before training camp started and Mitch still wasn't signed. And Dubas leaks it to the media. Yeah, actually, we offered him the John Tavares contract a month and a half ago and they turned it down. All of a sudden, the fans and the media are like, what? He turned down what? This fucking guy coming off his entry-level contract has turned down what John Tavares, coming off a 47-goal year, an Olympian, a captain on the island, he's turning that down before he's proved anything? And the conversation turned fast. And that was Kyle Dubas saying, you know what, big dog, you want to get down in the mud? You want to roll around, make this a shit show? Let's go. And it took one leak to the media, and the fucking conversation turned on a dime to what the fuck is this kid doing? He doesn't deserve more than Tavares. And you know what? The deal was done in 72 hours. He missed opening day when they all show up at camp to do the workouts and the photos and all that shit. He missed that. He was there a day later. Because all of a sudden, Kyle said, yeah, fuck off. I'm done with this. we got a preseason to start. Are you in or out? And leaked it to the media the same way they had been doing to him for months. And they turned fast and came running to sign a contract. And Kyle should have lowered the boom more at that point. The deal that they had offered was 7 times 11, the John Tavares deal. He comes in at 10.89, so 10.9. He's got to get his cute little 93 in there. I guess he thinks he's Gilmore. Gilmore tends to produce in the playoffs. And that's the type of shit you're going to be dealing with here. You're going to have to be prepared to make this guy uncomfortable. Because he and his camp have shown they got no problems making you uncomfortable. And they will do it again. This organization has gone out of their way to its own detriment at some points to make all four of these guys very comfortable as can be. I'm not sure they've got it in them, Shanny especially, to take the gloves off and get dirty, but that's what you're going to have to be prepared to do. That's where you're at with Mitch. You know what they're going to do. You know they're going to fight dirty. So you go to him within the next month and say, what do you want to do? You want to fuck around? Or should we all just turn the page? Tavares, you're stuck with. He's not going to have any value. Well, he has no value with that contract. I guess, in theory, if you could find a team he wanted to go to who was willing to take him at 5.5, which he's probably still worth, free up a little space that way, maybe you could do that. But I don't expect him to say yes. He came home. He took a lot of shit to do it. He set up his family here. You can still say to him, yeah, we're probably not going to re-sign you either in a year. I think you're less likely to get dirty with that guy. That's just my take. I'm a little bit of a homer for Tavares. I still think you're moving on. Just a year ago, I would have said at the end of this contract, you know, is he willing to sign for 4 or 5, move down to like the third line and ride it out? Look, he's the captain. He's the face of this thing now, or one of the faces of this thing. You got to turn the page in a few different ways. And I think whoever you make captain next and anybody else you bring in the future would have a hard time standing up in the locker room and saying, yeah, I'm talking over John Tavares, even if he's not the captain anymore. I think that would be an uncomfortable situation in the room, and you're probably better to just cut ties. And like I said, I wouldn't have said that a year ago. I assumed he would ride this out, do the Spezza thing eventually, and be here until he's done. I just don't think that's happening anymore. But I think you're probably less likely to get down in the mud with him to make it happen. So, shitty day. Shitty press conference. Like I said, Brad Treliving, I don't believe he's up to the job. I don't believe he's the general manager I would want making these moves for the organization. But he's the only one who didn't come off like an asshole today. I thought Brendan Shanahan came off as defensive and pompous. I thought Keith Pelley came off as out of touch and pretty clear. He's been living in Europe for the last 10 years instead of living here with the rest of us. This was ugly. And yet, all Keith Pelley's buddies are out there telling you, ooh, buckle up. He's going to change things. All right, well, we'll see. That's where we'll wrap this up. I was probably better off just not doing this. But I feel a little better. Maybe I've dragged you down into the mud with me. But I do feel better. I've gotten some of this off my chest. Because like I said, for whatever reason, most days after I watched these shit shows, they just sort of fade away and you go, well, whatever. And instead, today it got worse. Watching the spin that was put on it. This was not a good day. They did not say anything that any other team wouldn't have come out and said. And those teams get to be devoid of 8, 9 years, whatever the hell it's been, of futility. We're the Toronto Maple Leafs. And we need to win. Okay. Got 32 teams in the league trying to win. He's so fucking arrogant. That's that. Steve Bunda here, Monday morning, to co-host with me. That'll be fun. I'm glad I got this off my chest. I don't want to bury Steve Bunda in my negativity. I'll just bury you guys instead. Hopefully I'll feel a little fresher on the Monday morning show with Bunda. But for now, we're going to wrap this up. I apologize for the unpolished nature of it. But this was more of a therapy session than it was a professional podcast. Have yourselves a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. Yo, Care Warriors been taking it down. Raise your voices and stare at this town. When the champions are crap, you're sport. Tall can audio.